All right. It's good to see you all here. Thank you for coming. And the last session of the day before the preaching. Amen. But thank you for coming in. This is dealing with anxiety. If you're in the wrong, if you're anxious about this, you might be in the wrong class. I think I want to thank Pastor Han for getting me involved in teaching last year. Encouraged me to come, and I started last year teaching, and so I'm glad to do it this year. And I appreciate Pastor Brother Allen and this church. And if you see a member of the church, thank him. You know, this is a lot of work. It really is. And we get to enjoy it, and they're doing the work. So I really do appreciate the preacher in this church. Thank God for him. The Lord has a sense of humor. Dealing with anxiety is my specialty. The beginning of this year, I was going to have a knee replacement, my right knee. I haven't been under anesthetic since I was 10 years old with my tonsils. And I'm healthy, except for my arthritis in my right knee was real bad. And so I go in for the preoperative exam and thinking I'm going to have the surgery on February the 25th. Come right on in, ladies. And they said, the lady that was doing the EKG said, have you had a heart attack? And I don't think so. She said, you have a real abnormal EKG. You can't have a knee surgery. You're going to have a catheterization. So that was February. So they scheduled the catheterization in March. If you've never had a catheterization, it's one of the neatest things. They put you half under and you can see your heart on the monitor. It was the neatest thing I've ever seen. I couldn't feel anything, but they found out I have an abnormal. It's called an anomalous artery. It's an artery that comes off of your heart different than it should. You have your heart and one artery comes off one side. Mine comes off the front. One of them does. It's just about 20% of the people have that. And so I had to wait until August the 5th to have my knee replacement. So about 6 weeks ago, I had a knee replacement. And then Pastor Allen gives me the subject of dealing with anxiety. And so that's what we're dealing with today, dealing with anxiety. Let me have a word of prayer. We'll get started. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for every class that was taught, especially the ones that I heard, and just how you spoke to my heart. Heavenly Father, I pray that you do it again. Lord, you're a great God, and we love you. And we thank you for how good you are to us. And help us now, we pray, as we teach. I pray that you'd help me to listen as the Holy Spirit speaks through me, I pray, and I thank you for it. Lord, if every seat were filled and your presence would not meet with us, we would meet in vain. And so I need your help desperately, I pray. I thank you for the book. I thank you for the Bible. And I pray that you'd help us now as we teach it in Jesus' name. And amen. Come right on in, ladies. The definition of anxiety, let me give you the definition of it. Distress or uneasiness of mind, listen carefully, uneasiness of mind caused by fear of danger or misfortune. Distress or uneasiness of mind caused by fear or danger of misfortune. Something that may have happened to you in the past has caused you to be anxious today. And you're anxious about it. Or the second definition is earnest by tense desire or eagerness. Something that's going to happen. You're anticipating something and you become anxious. I remember when I first started deer hunting. The night before deer season, I mean to tell you, I couldn't sleep. I was so anxious about getting in that stand and seeing that buck. And by the time I got there, I was so tired, I fell asleep and didn't see any of them walking under me. Anxiety, it'll keep you awake. It makes you nervous. There's a lot of things that it'll do to you. And let me give you some doctrinal description. The word anxiety is not found in the Bible. Some words that are similar, concern, disquiet, doubt, suffering, trouble. However, the biblical word that is most associated with anxiety most often is the word care. And we use the verse here, Philippians 4, 6, be careful. And you've heard preachers, I'm sure, say this, be anxious for nothing. That's a tough verse to live. Because anxiety can take hold just like that. If someone were to come to this door right now and give me a message about a loved one that was just killed, you talk about anxiety that would take place. What's going to happen, what happened, and so forth. And so anxiety, I'm glad they gave me the title Dealing with Anxiety, because it'll happen. If it hasn't happened already, it will happen, and we have to deal with it. I'm not sure that there's ever a complete victory over it, because anxiety can be an uneasiness of mind or a tense desire and eagerness that happens to us all at times. Internally or externally, however, it happens. And so we have to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the simple answer is this. We need to pray and seek God when we get anxious. That's a simple answer. I remember the story my pastor told. My pastor is Dr. Terry Angel. He worked for Larry Brown for many years up in Marion Avenue Baptist Church in Washington, Iowa. And Brother Brown's first wife passed away. And he was there with her when she passed away. And the doctor said, or the nurse, one of them said, do you want me to go get a clergyman or a counselor? He said, no, just give me an empty room in about 30 minutes. What was he doing? He was dealing with anxiety. He went to that empty room and he had to reconcile that with God. He had to reconcile. Can I say this? God is in control of everything. Yes. That is the huge truth. If you don't get anything out of this, God's in control. Amen. God is in control. He knows everything. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God?
Yeah.
He knows everything. The word cope isn't in the Bible. Well, we got to cope with it. You deal with it, but coping, to me, that's it's not really facing it. When I say get victory over it, when it happens to you, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. And so we have to, how are we going to deal with it? Let's go to, I haven't written this one down, Brother Opperman. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Paul is writing a great church, 1 Thessalonians, the church at Thessalonica. Tremendous church. And he said here in chapter 5, verse 23, he says, and the very God of peace, notice he says God of peace, sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I don't want you just to be saved and know you're going your way. I want you to be a sanctified believer of the God of peace, that God will give you peace. And He can give you peace in the midst of your anxiety. Number one, determine the cause of the anxiety. Is it spiritual? And we'll get to this. Is it spiritual? Some anxiety is caused by sin. By sin in our own life. And the Holy Spirit's dealing with us. We need to confess it. I mean, almost everybody has talked about confession today. We need to confess and talk to God about it. Is it our soul? Our soul is made up of our mind, will, and emotions. And I'm going to deal with that a little bit. Because I'll just say it now and repeat it so I can remember it. And that is, your will has to override your mind and your emotions. Your will has to override your mind and emotions. It's on the paper someplace. Because people say, well, I just can't get my mind to close down. I can't get my mind to relax. Is it spiritual? Is it physiological mental? Is it a physical problem? I'm going to deal with the physical first and deal with it quickly. Let me give number two, dealing with anxiety. There are examples in the Bible of the battle that some great men and women had with anxiety. Some battles were won and some battles were lost. I think about the one I think about is, was it Elisha or Elijah that had the Gehazi was his servant, and they were surrounded by the Syrians? Elisha. I always get those two mixed up, and God says, open his eyes. He was anxious. I mean, wouldn't you be? You're surrounded by the enemy. And what did he do? What did Elisha do? God, open his eyes. And God opened his eyes so he could see what God was doing. Again, I repeat, God is in control. God is in control. He's always in control. He's never lost control. He knows exactly what's going on. So I'm going to deal with the physical first, and I want to do number three. It says determining if it is physical. Drugs will cause you to be anxious. I just went through a knee surgery. They gave me 10 different drugs, 4 painkillers, 3 of which I didn't even touch. 1 I took for 3 days, and at the end of 3 days, my wife said to me, you need to get off that stuff. You're just in a different world. And I'm serious. Prescription drugs can be a bad story. It really can cause you to be anxious. Chemical imbalance. Now, I don't want to go too far with this, but chemical imbalance. Some people have a chemical imbalance. I was talking with somebody, I don't remember who it was now, about their relative that started on medication years ago. By the way, my opinion, it's dangerous to put children on Ritalin. Because once they get started on that, then the only way to manage them is with that drug. So is it physical? Now, I did not grow up in a Christian home, and hey, Doc, how you doing? Come right on in. Yeah, there's another seat here someplace. Yeah, we'll find a seat for you. My good friend, Brother Bill McSpadden. Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you.
Lord bless you. That's all right. Yeah. Chemical imbalance. I grew up, and I don't want to dishonor my parents, okay? My dad was a functioning alcoholic. Alcohol is a drug. My mother was bipolar, manic depression. And one day you talk to her, and she'd be a certain person. The next day she'd be a different person. It was just really strange. Physical, is it physical? Let me say this. The food we eat can affect us. And this is all physical, causing anxiety. I'm allergic to chocolate. No doctor has ever told me that. I just know what happens to me when I eat it. Can I tell you, let's use some common sense. Just don't do it. If your body's telling you don't do it, don't do it. And then my advice is if you have some problems physically, see a licensed physician. I need to tell you that because I'm not a physician. But I do believe that there's a lot of stuff in our society today that has been going on for several years that is causing some serious problems. And it creates the anxiety. Anxiety in children. It's amazing to me. Well, I got to get off of the physical. Let's go to number 4. Determining the soul, that is the mind, will, and emotions. Letter A, the will must overcome the mind and emotions. Our mind can run wild with us. Boy, I'm telling you, you can lay in bed and you start thinking about what's happening tomorrow and the test tomorrow or the job tomorrow or the sermon tomorrow. I remember the story of Charles Spurgeon, where he was up late at night and he couldn't get the message that he was going to preach. And his wife convinced him, thank God for good wives, amen, I've got a great one. And so Charles Spurgeon said, or his wife went to him and said, why don't you just go to bed and get some rest and get up in the morning. And as he went to sleep, he started he started quoting his sermon that he was trying to get. And she woke up and got a pencil and wrote out his sermon because he was so wound up, wanted to get that sermon. Our will must overcome the mind. I can't get my mind to shut down. Don't believe that. I say that, but here's another one. I just can't stop thinking about it. It consumes my thoughts. I feel overwhelmed. My nerves are on edge. Then do something different. I'm not a big fan of just laying in bed and saying, God, you got to take this away from me. Get up and do something. Get up and read your Bible. The Bible says there's profit in all labor, so do something. Don't just stay in that mindset. And by the way, you should know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I'm going to tell you something that you need to put your will and attach it to this word. Because this word will change your life. I'm telling you, memorizing this scripture is what will solve your anxiety problems. How do you know that? Isaiah 26:3, I think it is. I don't have it on my paper. This one goes by memory, 26:3. Great peace have they which... No, that's not the verse. 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, wait a minute. Let's finish it. Because he trusteth in thee. I willingly trust God for what's going to happen in the future. I willfully trust him. This truth is so important. 145 times in Psalms alone, David said, I will, I will, I will. Do you know how strong the human will is? Strong enough to be rebellious against sin. Why don't we take the human will and use it to memorize Scripture and attach our will to God's will? My pastor said this one time, you're never more like the devil than when you say, I just want to do what I want to do. I used to believe that, oh, I'm just that way and I can't. You can change it. This book will change you if you just trust the one that wrote it. Great peace have they, which I keep quoting Psalm 119, Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in him. You are trusting in... here's another one. In John, well, this one's written on your paper. The answers to all these arguments are the will must overcome the mind. And you read in Isaiah, our thoughts are not his thoughts. And we read in Philippians, let this mind, his mind, Christ's mind be in us. And so it's a situation where we need to let our will, make our will overcome our mind to overcome our anxiety. Thomas said this when he wasn't with the disciples. And by the way, one of the great ways to make an absentee visit on somebody that hasn't been in church, best way to make an absentee visit is, man, you missed it. You should have been there. Instead of saying, oh, we missed you and we're sorry that you didn't come and so forth, that's okay. But you really say, man, we heard a message from God, people got saved, or whatever happened. And that's what they did with Thomas. Thomas, you missed it. The Lord was there. You should have been there, Thomas. Thomas said this, I will not believe until I reach my hands in his wrist or in his side. It's not a fact that he can't believe. It's a fact that he will not believe. Our will is so strong that we need to believe him. And let me just say this. This is not part of the lesson. It's not on the paper. But I think it's in Hebrews. It says, faith cometh by hearing. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want what God wants. And when that happens, oh, man, perfect peace. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Let me go to another one. Let's go to Psalms 56, I think it is. Psalm 56. I'm terrible with addresses. I don't know about you, but I memorize scripture, but I don't memorize the addresses. Terrible. We taught our children this verse, and I'll use a personal illustration. I was lying on the table, August 5th, getting ready for them to tear my knee open and put metal inside my knee. And I've watched videos, and I think those videos are to scare people so they won't have the surgery. Because it is has anybody had a knee replacement? It's a tough surgery. Would you agree with me? Can I get agreement?
I had two done and I had...
At the same time?
No.
Okay. Let's say, you're my hero if you had them done at the same time. But I hadn't had any surgery since I was 10, and I'm thinking, I don't want to go under. I don't want to be under without control. That was my big deal. And I'm laying there, and I almost backed out. Because until they send you in, you can say no. I'm lying there, and I'm thinking, boy, I don't know if I want to do this. I had already prayed about it, spent much time in prayer about it. Long story I could tell about that. And I knew I was in the right place. I had the right doctor. But I just was getting very, very anxious. And the Lord seemed to say to me, what verse did you teach your children when they were real little? And I went to Psalm 56, verse number 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And I made a conscious effort. God, you're in control. You're in control. That it's very simple. I believe that's the key to overcoming and dealing with anxiety. Remember, God is in control. You have to willfully accept that and willfully believe that. Psalm, let me just go through several of these. I don't have them on the paper, but David said this in his will. He said this, and I didn't go through scripture on all of it, but 1,500 times God said, I will, I will. We do not have a wishy-washy God. We have a God that knows exactly what He's doing. Exactly. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. And thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I trust him. I trust him. David said in Psalm 3, verse 6, he said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. I will not be afraid. Psalm 4, verse number 8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Psalm 5, verse 7 says, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. I will come into thy house. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 9, verse 14. That I may show forth all thy praise. In the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. I will. David said it so many times. I will, I will, I will. You must match. Well, let me back up and give you one more. Psalm 22, verse 25. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. Maybe, and this goes, we're working toward the spiritual. And the spiritual is maybe God's dealing with you about something. Spend time with him. Spend time with him. I don't spend as much time with God as I should. Can I tell you, we need to spend time with God. Because we're not changed by our effort. We're changed by our exposure. As we expose ourselves to God, just like Moses was changed because he exposed himself to God. And when we're anxious and we're not sure what's going to happen, we need to trust in the one who's in control, because God is in control. Here's something else that we can do, and I don't know what to do with it. We need to match up our anxiety with Scripture. Find out what your anxiety is. How many has ever seen this book, Blessed Promises from Scripture? Okay. A friend of mine, Larry Stallings, put this together years ago, probably in the 80s. But it has helps from the Bible. If a believer needs faith, it's when you're angry, with covetousness, for depression, for direction in life, in disappointments, with domestic problems, with evil thoughts, with experiencing fear, with financial difficulty. I mean, it just goes through a ton of scriptures. You match up the scripture with your anxiety, whatever that may be.
That's good.
And you use the word of God against your own flesh, because your flesh will not walk in the Spirit unless you let the Spirit lead the flesh. We all know that, look, this flesh is just real. And we have to deal with it. And we deal with it through the power of the Scriptures. I believe that with all my heart. A great book is this book here. I don't have enough for everybody here, but if you'll leave me your name, I'll send it to you. Name and address, I'll send one to you. But I wanted to give these to you because they're so helpful. They're so helpful. Let me say this. Several things changed my life. Number one, I got saved. That changed my life. June 13th, 1971, and I'm saved forever.
Amen.
And I have no doubt about it. Number two, I got married. That changed my life. I married a great gal, but that changed my life. If you got married and it didn't change your life, something's wrong. Number three, and I wish this was number two, I started memorizing Scripture. Memorizing Scripture will clean your mind and your heart and your will. I'm telling you. Let me give you a verse. It's not on the paper. I'm going by memory. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 14. Great verse, Hebrews 9:14. My brother, who just passed away a couple months ago, on his birthday, June 28th, he passed away. He had a rough life. He was only 75 when he died. Rough life. He got saved out of drugs, and God worked a miracle in his life. Later went on to Bible college and was a Christian school teacher, and God just worked in his life in an amazing way. But he gave me this verse. It's Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, and right there is the Trinity, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God, listen carefully to the next phrase, purge your conscience. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. How much more power do we have? Folks, sometimes I think we're saved and, oh, that's great, we're saved, saved forever, hallelujah. But wait a minute. Jesus didn't die just so we could be saved. He died so we could have power and live a life in Christ. Free from the anxiety that comes upon us. How do we do that? Through the Scriptures. Through the Word of God. Put your body in a position to control your mind. Here's one. Proverbs 16:3, put your body in a place that will control your mind. Don't just stay in anxiety, do something. In Proverbs 16:3 says this, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You see what he's telling you to do? Take your body and put it someplace to where it changes your mind and gets it off of whatever's making you anxious. Does that make sense to you, folks? You see what I'm saying? My wife used to say, she was great at just laying down and going to sleep. And when I was younger and had a lot going on in my mind and life, I had a tough time sleeping. And I'd get up, I'd toss and turn. She'd yell at me, just lay still. You can go to sleep. I said, no, I can't. Well, finally, I just decided to get up. This is ridiculous. I'd get up and read my Bible and eventually fall asleep. Well, now, as she's getting older, we're getting older. She's having a tough time sleeping. I sleep like a baby. And now I just say to her, just lay down. You can go to sleep. Not so easy anymore, is it? I have a brother-in-law who's a missionary in Costa Rica, been there for over 40 years. And he tells me, Ed, look, I just take 3 deep breaths. He said, on the 3rd breath, I'm asleep. What he didn't tell me was he drinks real Coke, not Diet Coke, about 3 or 4 of them a day. I would be asleep after the 3rd one, I'm telling you. Anxiety happens to all of us, but don't just let it overwhelm you. Do something about it, and I suggest you go to the Scriptures. You take your will and say, all right, I'm going to change my mind by making myself think something else. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You're loving the Word of God, God will give you that peace. All right, let's go to the spiritual. Letter E, I forgot to mention this. This is where the battle is, and the topic of this discussion is dealing with anxiety, not overcoming it. Each of us will win and lose some battles in this fight, but practice winning more than losing. And I don't have it on the paper, but Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 25 says this, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Don't be afraid of sudden fear. And that happens to all of us. We have to be careful. And I tell the story again about Brother Larry Brown. What would you do if that happened to you? What are you going to do? Letter number 5. What time is it? Number 5. Determine whether it is spiritual. And I really should have started with this one. This is where you should really start. But often a person has to clear away debris in their mind and heart to allow the Holy Spirit to reach them. Number 1, salvation. Are you saved? Doubting your salvation can cause great anxiety. Yeah. It can cause great anxiety. I got to tell you the story. I have down here 3 people. Jean Pierce is the first one. Jean Pierce was a sweet lady. She was in her 70s. And she'd come to me, wringing her hands and a little hanky in her hand. And, oh, Brother Bragg, Pastor Bragg, I'm just not sure I'm saved. Just not sure I'm saved. And I'd give her verses and I'd give her. And finally, I called her former pastor. I said, what'd you do with this gal? He said, man, I just tried to do what you're doing, give her verses. I said, I'm going to try something. He said, what are you going to try? And I said, I'm not going to tell you. I said, if it doesn't work, it's going to be terrible. By the way, I only did it 1 time. I'll tell you what I did. She walked into my office just like she did. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. I said, Mrs. Peer, listen, before we get started, would you like to have a beer? She said, Pastor, what do you mean? I said, I'll go buy it for us. I said, you're old enough. I'm old enough. I'll go buy us some beer. I said, what did you used to drink? She had a bad past. And she said, well, And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll just get us some Budweiser. I'll buy it for us, and we'll have a beer before we get started. And she looked at me, and she goes, you can't do that. I said, why not? Well, she said, you're the pastor. I said, well, I'm old enough. I said, you don't tell anybody. We'll be fine. She goes, well, we can't do that. And she said, I said, why not? She said, well, I can't do it. I said, why not? She said, well, I just can't. She said, I said, why not? She said, because, I said, why not? She says, because I'm saved. I said, now get out of my office and leave me alone. Now, many people have said, what would have happened if she said, yeah, go buy some? I would have said, well, we both need to get saved. By the way, I've never tried that before and never did it since. But can I tell you this? That lady got that settled, and she took a bus as a bus captain, and at 77 years old, had one of the best bus routes in our whole church. See, God, the devil will use anxiety against you doing God's work. A preacher just told a story about Ben, his son Ben. Ben, he didn't know this. He said Ben came home one furlough, and he's a missionary in Madagascar, and he said Ben was doubting his salvation. And he said, I didn't know it. And he said, I don't know if it was when he was in college or even when he was on the field. I don't remember, because I don't remember the exact time, but he said it wasn't until Ben decided to believe what the Bible said. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 16. Romans 8 is the Spirit chapter, by the way. The Spirit's mentioned 20 times in that chapter. The Bible says, His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Is it a spiritual matter? Are you saved? Are you saved? And I'm not going to go into that. That's a whole other lesson. But Brother Alex Murawski was a Russian Jew, a Soviet Jew, moved to Israel, and I became friends with him, and long story there. But he had, especially in Soviet Union and some of the persecuted countries, they don't believe in a certain eternal security. There's a real problem with in Ukraine and other countries like that. And he did not believe in eternal security until he started studying the Word of God, and he saw what Israel did to God, and God still didn't turn his back on Israel. He said, because of Israel. And that's another whole story. So maybe it's salvation. Maybe it's salvation. Maybe it's sanctification. That's one of the big words that Pastor talked about. Sanctification. What sin are you excusing in your life which is causing anxiety? Anger can cause anxiety. Preacher did a great job with dealing with anger last hour. Confess and forsake it. Young lady, and I won't use her name, I just, LB is what I have down. She would come to my office and she would, again, doubting her salvation. I thought, what's wrong with this lady? And she said, the Lord seemed to say to me, ask her when she starts doubting her salvation. I said, when do you doubt your salvation? And she said, well, at night. And I don't know why I asked this, but I said, what are you doing at night? Boy, she turned white. I don't know what it was. I don't really care what it was. I don't want to know. But I said, if there's sin in your life that's causing you anxiety and causing you to doubt your salvation, can I tell you, I'm saved forever.
Amen.
But I still have flesh.
Yeah.
Still have flesh. Confess and forsake it. By the way, we're wonderful at confessing other people's sins.
Yeah, come on.
The Bible says this, and it's speaking of someone who has done you wrong. It says, whosoever covereth sin seeketh love. It's not talking about your sin. It's talking about covering other people's sins. When it comes to your sin, God says, confess his sin and forsake it. Whosoever confesseth not his sin, forsake it. It's our sin. We need to confess. And so that's a problem. What are you watching on television just before you go to bed? My pastor says this, turn the TV off half hour before you go to bed or sooner or longer. Don't watch television all the way up until the time you go to bed. And most of the stuff on there is not worth watching anyway. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, it's a battle in your mind, and your will has to overcome that by using the Word of God. And when our will matches up with God's will, there's power in that, and you overcome the anxiety. Listen to good music. Colossians 3:15-16. Ephesians 5:17-19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. My grandchildren sing a song. I don't know if you know it. I love the Bible, precious old Bible. You ever heard that song? The light of my life. I don't remember all the words of it, but they sing it over and over again. And when I start feeling anxiety coming on, I'm anxious about something, I just think about my grandchildren who with simple faith trust in the one who's in control of it all. By the way, have I told you this lately? God is in control.
Amen.
He knows exactly what's going on. I know that there's a lot of problems in the world, and the stuff that's going on is just horrific out there. Sometimes I think we Christians should remind ourselves God is in control.
Amen.
That's bad. By the way, it's just fulfillment of prophecy, folks. It's going to be that way. And you know what I say? He's coming soon. And he is in control. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. God's very trustworthy, by the way. The grace of God. Will you allow the grace of God to be enough, or will you fail of the grace of God? 2 Chronicles 12, 17 through 10. I won't take time to turn to it. I'll just tell you the story. A lady by the name of Melissa Workman, and I've got permission to tell the story. Her and her husband married, and they were serving God, and they were good Christians for many years, and then he had a stroke. And that stroke caused him to be very, he became very bitter, very angry and ornery. She was the only one that was bringing income in, and he had a little bit from his disability, but he would order things, and she wouldn't know about it. They'd come to the house, and just all kinds of turmoil. He was a diabetic, and he wouldn't eat right. He'd get his grandchildren to go get him food that he wasn't supposed to have, and it was just a mess. She'd come to my office and wring her hands, "Preacher, what do I do? What do I do?" And I give her verses and so forth. And finally, one time she came with her older son, and they were having problems. Melissa was having problems with Frank. And she said, "What do I do? What do I do?" And I didn't know what to tell her. And I mean, she got to crying. She got me crying. Her son looked at both of us like we're crazy. And I just didn't know what to do with her. I was at my wit's end. And finally, the Lord seemed to say to me, "She either needs to believe in the grace of God or not." And I just looked at her and said, "Melissa, either you have to trust God that His grace is sufficient, or you don't. One or the other. You believe it or you don't." And she left. I had prayer and she left. I resigned, moved to Illinois, came back. David had me preach, had some people stand up and say some nice things. Melissa stood up and said, "Preacher, do you remember that day in your office when you said either the grace of God has got to be enough or not?" I said, "I really don't remember it." She said, "But you said it." And she said, "I believed it, and it changed my life. I believed it." The verse, I'm trying to think of it. It's not on your paper, and it just came to my mind. It's in Hebrews. And I think it's Hebrews 12. I hope it is anyway. It says this: "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us." It doesn't say sins. It says the sin that does so easily beset us. Could it be that the sin that does so easily beset us is the sin of unbelief? We don't believe His word. The older I get, the more I realize I should have believed this a long time ago. It's the power of the word of God. And God takes His word and sets it above His name. Psalm 138. So, how to have the peace of God. Psalm 119, 165, I've been trying to quote it. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Some of my favorite verses, and I wrote them out here. 2 Chronicles 20, Psalm 55:22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Psalm 18, Psalm 56:3, I quote, we read. Psalm 118, 5 and 6. You can read them all and take your pick. But, Brother Doner, would you do me a favor and pass these out or just hand them back? And then I'd like to know if anybody would like to have one. You didn't get one. I have a 3x5 card. Put your name and address on it. I have about a minute left. Can I say, God is in control? I'll say it again. God is in control. We just need to believe Him. That thought has really just changed my life. Laying there with my knee ready to be busted open, and I'm thinking to myself, am I really doing what I should be doing? I've already prayed about it. I know it's God's will. God's in control. There's another lady in our church who's in her 80s. She had a hip replacement and a knee replacement. And the Lord seemed to say to me, it's a preacher's mother named, we call her Granny Angel, Amanda Angel. And the Lord seemed to say to me, if that lady in her 80s can go through what you're going through, what are you, a wimp? Two things. God is in control. Let's believe His word. Amen. Father, we pray now that you bless what we said. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.